Thank you for your generous giving. The Lord sees it and the Lord honors it, and the Lord will bless. There's a group of our church people who are up in the mountains in Tagaytay, and they're currently having their encounter God retreat, and we pray that the Lord will move so mightily in that place, no? Kaya some of the familiar faces are not here because aside from the participants, we have a group of workers who are there as well. Today is the start of our new series of preaching. It's a new series that is entitled Heroes of Faith. No? For the past several weeks, we went through the book of James and we talked about how faith is practical and how faith can be acted upon and lived out. No? But this time, we're still going to continue our conversation of faith. No? And so even while we were praying and preparing for this, I was talking to the Lord and I wondered, Lord, what have you in store for our church, no? That you're equipping us to have deeper faith, stronger faith, firmer faith, consistent faith. Baka may any challenges that will come our way, no? We are already empowered for that, no? So the author of Hebrews just ended chapter 10 with this statement, the just shall live by faith, no? So after sharing how exactly what faith is like and the things that have happened, the question may be, how can anyone live in faith? You know, in Hebrews 11, it even says, without faith, we can never please God. And so how can faith be acted upon? How can faith be demonstrated? And so this is how Hebrews chapter 11 started. The answers to these questions comes from the next few verses that we will talk about in Hebrews chapter 11. And so we see faith here described. No? The first three letters is now faith is, the first words. And the next time, the verse 1 shares with us exactly what it means, no, to have faith. It says, faith is the confident assurance of the things hoped for and the proof of things that is not seen. Siguro when we see that, especially the second statement, it's an oxymoron, eh. When you talk about proofs or evidences, it's something tangible that we can see, something tangible that we can hear, something tangible that the reason why it's called an evidence or a proof, it means that our senses are fully involved in seeing that thing is true. Now, it says here, it's faith is the proof of things that is not seen. And so that is something that we will understand a little bit more in the next few preaching series to see how faith was demonstrated. No? In other translation, it says confidence. In King James, it says substance. In ESV, it says assurance. In NLT, it talks about the reality. So here, you're talking about a reality that your senses are not yet fully involved in. You can't see it, you can't hear it, but you are certain of the things that have happened. But how many of us know that we live in a world that is very uncertain? To the point that the only thing that is constant in our life is change, di ba? No? Moulton and Moulton, it says there, faith is the title deed of the things hoped for. And so the use of this word title deed, no? Di ba if you have a house and everything, what gives you the assurance that you own this particular property, this particular house? It's when your name is in the title. So here, all of these descriptions tell us that faith is the title deed of something that we hope for. It may happen now, it may happen in the future, but we already have something in our hand, no? Another faith description by Oswald Sanders says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen, no? And even in Vincent, it says, faith is that to which that the unseen objects of hope, it becomes real and substantial. So when we talk about the matters of faith, no? This is something that is very relevant to the Christian life, because although we know that there are evidences that God exists, you just look into the heavens, no? You just look into the skies, just look at the textures of the water and the textures of the mountain, and you will know that there is already a higher being. But there's so many things that the Lord has promised for, the callings, the promises and everything. They are firm in God's word, but not yet fully realized in reality. And so in the next set of verses, from verses 4 to verses, Hebrews chapter 11, from 4 to 40, there we see the demonstrations of faith in the lives of the different Old Testament characters, Bible characters. No? With down the author now calls to memory the different Old Testament people to illustrate how amazing accomplishments was brought about because of their faith in the Lord. These heroes and home runs are the divine's are the heaven's divine league, no? And it's something that we are being asked to look at to them, the kind of faith that the Lord has gifted them. That's the kind of faith that we should have today as well. And so you see in the following verses, by faith, a proper sacrifice was offered by Abel. By faith, a rapture took place, no? Enoch did not face death, but he was just transported into heaven. By faith, 8 persons escaped the flood waters. Noah brought his family. By the way, diba Chinese characters are pictographs, no? Within the literal meaning of Chinese of boat, says there that there are 8 people on the boat. And so if you're going to use that to minister, to evangelize to fellow Chinese people, you can actually use the very literature to show them that the gospel has been planted deep within the literature. Side note lang naman. Another one. By faith, difficult commands were obeyed by Abraham. By faith, a barren woman gave birth. No, who's that? Sarah, di ba? By faith, a babe was hidden for 3 months. Who was that? Moses, di ba? And the very person who rescued Moses was the daughter of the very king who had who issued a decree that all infants should be killed. No, by faith, a nation was delivered from slavery. By faith, a city was shouted down. That's by Joshua. No, by faith, a prostitute was saved, and her name was even listed in the genealogy of Jesus. Who's that? Rahab. No, we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. By faith, military reformers have delivered Israel. By faith, a shepherd boy was anointed king. Can you imagine? Who's that? David, very good. By faith, kingdoms were subdued. By faith, people were tortured. They were imprisoned. They were fed to the mouths of the lion. They were pushed to the fire, but they came out and unscathed. They escaped from the edge of the sword. They faced death not just by the sword, but by stoning, and they faced death and torture. But then the Lord credited to their hearts to be faithful. And up to the very last day, they lived by faith. You know, after reading all of these stories, I remembered my first few times when I had a Bible study. We studied this Hebrews chapter 11. And I remembered, you know, one of my life group members asked me, but Ate Josie, didn't all of them had a bad death? Didn't all of them had a bad ending? And I said, yeah, they had a bad ending. And so the question here is that, what possible reason sustained them that until the very end of death, they still proclaimed their faith and their trust in the God of the maker of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How did they do that? That's because the Lord has deposited in their lives something that we call faith, that is already wherein this deposit is based upon a heavenly city where the builder and the maker is God. And so this same invitation of faith is given to each one of us today. What was true 2,000 years ago, many thousands of years ago, what God was saying in the lives of the people during that time, the faith lessons, the faith encouragements are still being issued to us today. And so I pray that today, as we look upon these scriptures and we look upon the uncertainties of our lives, it would be met by faith and talagang a complete profession and confession of trust unto the Lord. So our title for today is to facing uncertainty with unwavering faith, no? And so we would be talking about the life of Abraham from verse chapter 8 up to verse chapter 19. By faith, Abraham obeyed God, even though he did not know where, even though he did not know how, even though he did not know when, and even though he did not know why. But despite uncertainties, he exercised faith. You know, faith is described as an exercise. I was just telling Christine, no, that I started, but had not yet continued. Ano lang, accountability lang. Started naman. Going to gym, to gym with a personal trainer. But after that one time, I gave up. Because I couldn't stand. You know, and I felt like, you know, I have so many things on my plate. Why would I add into it a time of torture? And she was telling me, you know, Ate Josie, all you need to do at the first year of going back to the gym is just to show up. That's all you do. You don't have any other goals except to show up, except to show up, except to show up. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Sige, I will repent, I will repent, I will go back, I will go back. I haven't gone back yet, but I'll let you know next time. I'll let you know next time. But faith is an exercise. And I remember that when you start doing something new, every bit of your muscle complains and protests. No, because it's not there. The muscles are not yet existing, or if they are, they are dormant, no. But the more that you do it and the more that you do it, your muscle becomes stronger. Your muscle is able to sustain blows more, is able to carry strength more. And that's how it is with faith as well. The more that you use your faith muscle, the stronger that your faith is. That even in the little things, you exercise full faith, confidence, assurance of the things that you've hoped for, proof of the things that is unseen but is written in the Word of God. When the time comes, the trials and tribulations and temptations come, when the testing of your faith comes, you have enough muscle to keep you going on. So we'll start with that. First and foremost, exercise faith despite the uncertainty of where. And so this brings us to verse chapter 8 to 10. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he didn't know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. So it was not just him, no? But he brought his son and his grandson to live the life of a nomad in the tents because of the Lord's promise in his life. They were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations where the architect and the builder is God. Can you just imagine how amazing it is, no? By faith, Abraham, when called, he obeyed. You know, this is so very different from the wait lang generation that we have right now. Wait lang generation. Because if you ask any of the kids, no, you ask them, pakikuha mo nga ako ng water, wait lang. Can you please go out and bring this trash outside? Wait lang. Diba? Or even us adults, no, admittedly, go back to gym, wait lang. or so and so forth, no. We are a wait lang generation that says that, wait. I know that, Lord, you want me to do this, but let me just prepare my heart. Let me just let things simmer down on this area so that my plates are not full. Let me just do this and that. But God is showing us that Abraham, when he heard the call of the Lord, he obeyed and he went. No? Prior to this time, there was no conversations or evidences of faith, no? Abraham, kaya nga siya father of all nations because he was the first during that time. How did God test Abraham's faith? Through an uprooting of where he was. He had cattle, he had influence, he had security, but God uprooted him. And God brought him into an adventurous journey and asked him to plant new roots in a place that is provided by the Lord. So here we can see that Abraham's obedience to God's call to leave his homeland without knowing his destination is rooted in his unwavering trust in the Lord. We see that it is so important to trust in God's guidance even when the destination is unknown. You know, when I talk to people, there are so many of you here, of us here, who are breadwinners, who came from a different city, but had to come here in Makati, in Manila, to work so that we would be able to do things like that. And I remembered that all of them have shared stories of an adjustment of culture, an adjustment of new things. No, however, God is saying that even despite the uncertainty of where the Lord wants to bring us, our faith in Him, that He is the God who will do what He says He will do, should be unwavering. This picture is a picture of our men's camp last March. No? How many of you were there? I wasn't there, no? And I'm not going there. I was telling Doc John, no? Our men's coordinator, the next time you plan a men's camp, what particular day it is, I will also plan a wives retreat, no? Pero yung registration fee dito for the men's camp, how much was it? 1,200. Our wives registration fee, 5,000. No? 5,000. Kasi what you guys did here was to sleep on tents, you guys cooked your own meals, diba? And then you had the ground, no? And in your back, kami, kuchon, aircon. No one will cook anything, no? We will just order. Room service, 1 hour massage, pedicure, diba? So families, you guys prepare already, yeah? 1,200 budget for the husband. 5,000 for the mommies, no? We'll do that. But kidding aside, this was an uncomfortable place. They had, you know, depende pa kung saan nakalatag yung tents. Sometimes may bato-bato sa likod, no? Some people were smart, eh. They brought inflatable ba or some sort of sleeping bag. But some people just went there, no? And they had to sleep on hard, like, hard ground. And what was the common feedback? Ang init! Heat index, 42 degrees. Ah, nasa loob kayo ng tents, no? But this pales in comparison compared to what Abraham brought his family on. They didn't just stay there for 1 day, 2 days. It was years of adventure journey, a pilgrimage, no, to the promised land that the Lord has placed us. And through those years, through everywhere that he went, they couldn't set up a habit because the next day they have to pack up those tents and they had to go into another place, no? And they have seen how the Lord has provided along the way. Up to the point that they were in the promised land and everything, may gulo pa rin, may battle pa din. But Abraham, called by God, immediately obeyed. And God counted that as faith. God counted that as a response to his call, no? So if you are currently in a new place, we also have some foreigners in this place, no? This is your home in the next maybe like 4 years or so. And I know that it's a new culture, it's a new place. But God can use us wherever we are, wherever we go. For us who have already lived here all our lives, maybe it's a change of workplace, maybe it's a change of community that you belong in. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so wherever you are that the Lord has planted you, bloom. Wherever you are, you know, trust, put your faith in the Lord that He will use you mightily and He will teach you talagang precious faith lessons, no, that He has never shown you before. Amen ba? Second point, let us exercise faith despite the uncertainty of how. I think this is one of the how questions is something that's very hard to answer. How will this come about? How will this happen? In verse 11, it says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled by God to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made that promise. Who was faithful in this point? First, it was God. God was the one who is faithful. He considered God to be faithful, that God would be able to answer what he has promised. No, God would be a God who answers prayers. And so as you put your faith in the character of God, that's how you have faith as well. In verse 12, so from this one man, for and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. Can you just imagine that? An old age man and an old age wife that God had promised that you will have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Parang, hello, joke time. Lord, joke ba to? Are you sure? Can we just take an inventory age? How old? Diba? Now we have so many conversations of fertility, infertility, and we understand the health of the eggs and the blah 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 blah. You know, all of these things. Much more during the time, no? Hindi lang siya yung parang nag-crossover na medyo high age na. She has already passed, way past the childbearing age, no? In Tagalog, do you know how they translated it? Baog si Sarah. Ganun ka literal, no? So Abraham, because of that, he wasn't a perfect man. He tried to help God. How many of us have done that, no? The Lord made the promise, Lord, tutulungan kita. I'll help you. Baka medyo busy eh. Baka nasa ilalim ako ng to-do list mo. I'll help you do it, no? And so what did Abraham do? Abraham and Sarah brought another servant and said, maybe this servant would be able to bear a child. And he did bear a child, Ishmael. But God said, no, this is not the son of promise. And so later on, they had a son and it was Isaac, no? Abraham was not a perfect man. He made many mistakes. God promised him a child. Abraham tried to produce a child through Sarah's servant and later tried to give Sarah away to both an Egyptian and a Philistine king in order to save his own life. See how imperfect Abraham was, no? But God used him. And not only that, God chronicled his imperfection in the Bible. The father of all nations, no? What can we see there? That God is not looking for super saints. God is not looking for superhumans, but God is looking for imperfect people, flawed humans who will respond to him in repentance and faith and live for him regardless of the circumstances. So exercise faith despite the uncertainty of how. You don't know how it's going to happen. Sarah and Abraham had miraculous conception in old age. What kind of impossibilities are you facing right now? Is it household salvation? Is it a financial breakthrough? Is it a relationship restoration? Or perhaps it's healing, career advancement, love life? Kung ano man yan, no, na impossibilities. As you put your trust in the Lord, as you place your faith in the God who answers prayers, you'll be okay. Their faith in God's promise overcame human limitations and doubt. We must trust in God's power to fulfill his promises even when the circumstances seem impossible. So don't lose faith, no? Don't lose faith. 2 weeks ago, we came from a family camp, no? And there was also a call for salvation, to give your life to Christ. And I remembered in that particular thing, the oldest person who stood up and gave her life to Christ was 94 years old. 94 years old. Imagine that, ano? I don't know the story behind how this old Lola went there, no? But I know that there was someone who was praying for her. And the Lord brought that answer at 94 years old. So I don't know if you have... How many of you are still waiting for God's promises in your life, no? How many of you are still have unanswered prayers in your life? I want to encourage you to keep trusting, keep praying, and keep exercising your faith, no? Let's do that. Third point, exercise faith despite the uncertainty of when. Of all the parts of the verses, no, this is my favorite because this is something very personal to me. Let's go to verse 13. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that was promised to them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country that they had left, they would have the opportunity to return. But God burnt that bridge, no, in Abraham's life. And God wants for us to burn that bridge over to our old life as well. Verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called your God, for God has prepared a city for them, a builder and a maker from the Lord. Abraham exercised faith despite not seeing the fulfillment of God's promises in his lifetime. We must live in eternal perspective, looking forward to the heavenly city that is prepared by God. As a follower of Christ, as a Christian, we believe in the concept of eternity. Abraham was promised by God that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and he would be so blessed that he will be a blessing to the nations. But up to the point of death, he had sons, he had grandsons, many grandsons, but he did not see the fulfillment of that at work. Later on, we'll see that Jesus Christ fulfilled God's promise for that. But Abraham died, no? But up to the point of death, up to his death, he proclaimed faith. Why? Because he has deposited his faith in the vaults of a heavenly city that is promised by God. No? Abraham did not have rights as a citizen. Abraham was an alien. He was in the land of promise, but he was an alien. He never took possession of anything. He didn't own lands at the beginning. It's like living in a foreign land. He was a tent dweller along with Isaac and Jacob who followed him, to whom the same covenant promise was made and reiterated. He was a foreigner living alongside the people who live in the land. A promise to him, but never really possessed. You know, here on earth, someday, this world will be ours. No, that's a profession of faith, no, of a Christian. There will come a day that the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom in this place. A new heaven and a new earth will come. We don't know exactly what it looks like, but we know that he will take the reign as the King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And he would restore to us what God has promised us, what God has first called us to take dominion over his creation. A lion and a lamb is going to be a place where all of us would be able to stand before the presence of the Lord. And all the things that the prophets have talked about in the Bible will come into full realization, no? And we will inherit the earth. But right now, we are just tent dwellers here. In fact, our bodies are perishable, no? Sa isang gym session pa lang, you would feel the perishableness of your body. No, I'm not joking, no. Every year, I had to like upgrade my glasses kasi my degree goes up higher and higher. Today nag-launch si Pastor Louie ng new look, no. No? May acceptance na, no. Yeah. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Oh. But my point is that here on earth, we must have this kind of perspective that we are tent dwellers here. We are aliens in this foreign land that someday will be ours. Let me show you this picture. I shared this story to a few groups, small groups of people, but I think never in the services, no? Sayang wala si Pastor Verlon dito. Don't worry, nandito naman si Pastor Louie. Na madalas akong kinakausap ng chong-ching-chang-chong-tang. Madalas. Anyway, this is my alien certificate of registration. You see, my citizenship is a little bit unique, no? Because even though on your lower right, you can see the word native born, that shows that I was born and raised here in the Philippines. I went to school here. I never lived outside the Philippines except for several years in Taiwan when I started working, no? But this has been my place of birth, no? And yet, because the laws of the Philippines is that citizenship is by blood, until today, I am an alien. No, until today, every January to February, I would go to the immigration. I had to pay what you call an annual report. And every 5 years, you have to pay a bigger amount of money to sort of continue your visa stay here in the Philippines. I don't know, for the foreigners who are displaced, do you also do that? Do you also go to immigration, pay your annual reports, or you have insurance agents who will do that for you, probably? Because just several months ago, I was comparing notes with Arthur, our keyboardist, and he was saying, Ate Josie, you go here because the line is short and everything. And said, ah, really, really? How long did it take you? What were the requirements and everything? And I just said, here you have Arturo, who came from Nigeria to study. And here I was born and raised here, and we have the same status. But it doesn't make sense, diba? This concept of alien was more parang emphasized many years ago when I traveled to Hong Kong, no? When I traveled to Hong Kong, the airline here in the Philippines and immigration let me fly, no? Kasi I'm a Taiwan passport holder. I don't have a Filipino passport, no? So they let me fly because I have visas and everything. But when I reached Hong Kong, they checked that my visa was not valid. It has something to do with One China policy, blah, 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 blah. Too long to explain. But the point is, Hong Kong immigration told me that I didn't have any right to enter Hong Kong. And so that were the exact words, no? And sila Jeff Non and some of my other friends were already at the baggage claim, no? Preparing. Sabi ko, you still have to go to Ocean Park. I will still buy this particular makeup and this particular shoes. And I will eat roast duck, no? Like, all the things that I wanted to do in Hong Kong were already laid out. But I did not have legal right to enter Hong Kong. And so now comes the question, who can give me legal right to enter Hong Kong? Because if not, I would be deported back to the Philippines. And so I went to the Philippine immigration in Hong Kong, and they said, you're not a Filipino citizen. We can't give you that visa. I went to Taiwan. I said, I'm a Taiwan passport holder. Can you give me a visa to enter Hong Kong? I'm so sorry. You don't have residence here in Taiwan. You're not a citizen. And so we consider you as an overseas Chinese. You are not our own. I went to China immigration. China says, you are a Filipino in our eyes because you were born and raised here. Tatlong country, no? Said that I'm not their own. So what happened? They would deport me back already. I've been there for more than 6 hours. And then someone whispered, stop talking Mandarin. Start speaking in fast English and loudly. So I started speaking English with all arms flailing, and then they let me enter Hong Kong. I paid 6,000, 7,000 pesos many years ago. That's already something that was expensive then. My point was, I don't have voting rights in any of the countries. You ask me what my citizenship is, I don't. I don't have, no. You ask Taiwan, they'll say I'm a Filipino. You ask China, they'll say I'm a Filipino. You ask Philippines, they will say I'm a Chinese. No. Literally, an alien, a foreigner, living in a foreign land, a tent dweller. Although I married a Filipino and my daughter has Philippine passport and everything, that cannot be extended to me unless I go through very tedious court proceedings and so on and so forth, no? Etc. No? So, ano yung point ko dito? The reason why I said this particular part of scripture was something very special to me was because when I became a Christian, I found my citizenship in heaven. And so now if anyone asks me, what's your citizenship? I say that my citizenship is in heaven. No? I don't know if you've watched the movie Terminal. Nako, pag nag-gera si China at si Taiwan, yun yung mangyayari sa akin. No? Kaya saan ako pupulutin talaga. No? But each one of us, so my life is a big object lesson, no? About where my allegiance and my voting rights are. No? I share with people, I don't have voting rights in any of those places. And when I became a Christian, the Lord has given me the gift of free will, but I surrender my voting rights to Him, telling God that He has the right to vote for my life. I will no longer have those, no? Because it's in the Lord. And the Lord loves me so much. The Lord is much, much wiser than I am. And so I put my trust in Him. So my life is an object lesson. But I believe that each one of us should have this kind of perspective as well, according to Hebrews chapter 11. We must see our life here on earth as temporal. And so the values that came along, no, don't store up treasures here on earth because these are the places where moth and rust will destroy. Store up treasures in heaven. Put your hearts into things that are in eternity because the Lord has written eternity in our hearts. And you do that by bringing people to have a personal, living, live relationship with the Lord so that when time comes, you will see each other in eternity. So, exercise faith despite when the fulfillment of faith will be. Our last point is this. Can I ask the worship team? No? Exercise faith in God despite the uncertainty of why. I think this is one of the hardest questions. No? To ask God why. To ask God why. And here you see the story of God telling Abraham to offer Isaac. And that wasn't a practice, no? During that time. Only animals were sacrificed. And Isaac had to carry his own wood up into the mountain. Just like how Jesus had to carry his own wooden cross, no, up to the point of Calvary. But during the time, Abraham did not ask the reason why. And when Isaac asked, okay, we have the wood. We have everything that's ready. Where is the offering? Abraham declared a confession of faith. God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And in the time that when, you know, when he raises his arm already to kill Isaac, he suddenly saw a ram that was caught in the bushes, no? And God introduced himself as the God who provides. So God's first provision are not financial provisions, no? God's first provision is a provision of eternity, a provision of rescue, a provision of salvation. And so if in your life right now, if you're facing difficult life questions, it's hard to ask the question, why? 4 years ago, April 2020, during the first part of pandemic, we faced miscarriage. No, I had a miscarriage during that time. And it affected me tremendously talaga. Life and death is in the hands of the Lord. So up to that point, I was telling God, Lord, okay tayo doon. Okay yung faith ko doon. But I had some questions about why God had to make me pregnant in the first place if that pregnancy wouldn't continue, no? And then I remembered that, you know, in one of the many conversations that I had during that time, the Lord brought me into a verse that affirms His promise in my life. And a verse that affirms the reality of eternity, no? And so few months before that, no, at the kids' church, I remembered that the teaching of the kids' church was talking about prayer. And Teacher Kat was teaching the kids, no, including my daughter who was in kids' church during that time. Prayer points, no, how to pray. And so they had to write their prayer points in the popsicle sticks and it was there. And then afterwards, several weeks after, I saw those popsicle sticks, and one of those is to have a sibling, no? And so when we got pregnant, February, I think, no, when we found out we're pregnant, I mean, we were so happy, no, as a whole family, we were so elated, talaga. And so when several things happened that led to the miscarriage, no, we had to process about it as a family, and I remembered that God said that you have a child in eternity. God answered my daughter's prayer of having a sibling, not now, but eternity. But if you ask me why, I don't have exactly all the answers yet. And maybe in your life, you also have those kinds of stories as well. Behind every why question is a question, is a story of pain and disappointment before the Lord. But God is asking each one of us to continue to hold on to Him. Let's go to the part we're in. The realization of Abraham's promises did not happen in Abraham's lifetime, but it happened through Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the promise, no, it didn't rely on Abraham's strength or limitation, nor Abraham's faith. No, it didn't rely on the nation of Israel, but Jesus Christ came through. By His sacrifice, no, all nations can now be blessed. By His sacrifice, each one of us who professes our faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and who was raised to life, can now have eternal life and enjoy the eternal blessings in the Lord. So our faith, as much as it is inward, should also be outward. You go to that slide, no? Wherein we can see that the inward confidence of faith, it moves our heart to believe. It moves our heart to hang on. However, faith has to be lived out. This is where we go back to how it started in Hebrews, no? That says that the just shall live by faith. The external demonstration of faith, it moves the mountains of your life. You know how Jesus Christ described it? He says, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, and you tell the mountains to move, and the mountains will move. That is the gift that the Lord has given to each follower of Christ, to hang on to the promises of the Word of God, knowing that God is a God who fulfills all His promise. God is a good God. God is a loving God. God is sovereign. God is majestic. And yet, when we exercise to live that out in reality, even if our eyes can see it, we are certain of the things that we hope for. So can I invite everyone to stand? We're going to sing this song. But as we sing, if any one of you are facing mountains in your life right now, can I just request you to step out of your seat and just to come here in front? Can I ask the pastors and the workers, no? Just here, what we will do together is that we will just pray with you. We will pray in faith. We will believe in faith that the God will move the mountains of your life. Perhaps some of you have some hindrance for you to continue to hang on to the Lord. Can I ask you to surrender it and to give your heart to the Lord right now? No? Or if any one of you are facing impossibilities, difficulties in studies, in school, in work, in workplaces, in family relationships, in finances, in the area of sickness, I encourage you, I invite you to make a demonstration of your faith today. And to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I trust in you. Lord, I surrender this to you. Amen. So I'll pray, huh? And then we're going to worship. Heavenly Father, I pray for courage and faith to be at work in this place right now. In the name of Jesus, would you move so mightily? In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, please step out of your seats and come here in front. And we're going to sing this song. someone to pray with. Because I want each person to be prayed for in this place. Can you turn to the person beside you? Workers, can you just spread out a little bit and look for fresh faces? Groups of two or three, let's come together and let's bring our faith to the Lord. And let's bring our prayer request to the Lord. Let's continue. Let's come together, spiritual community. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Those who are praying, just continue to pray. For the rest of us, let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for this time that we can come before you and declare our full surrender, our full trust in you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, oh Lord God, that you would empower each person with a faith that comes from you. And that you would activate us, oh Lord God, to demonstrate your faith, Lord, in the places that we go to, in the people that we speak with. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to continue to hang on to your word, to pray unceasingly, to love unconditionally, oh Lord. Help us, oh Lord, to preach boldly, not just in action, but also in words. Help us, oh Lord God, to serve compassionately, oh Lord God, and to be able to work tirelessly to advance your kingdom. Lord, all the mountains of problems, of uncertainties that we may face, oh Lord God, give us your sustaining grace, oh Lord, to continue to exercise our faith, Lord, in all of these things. We give you back all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So God bless everyone. We'll see you next Sunday.